Is this for auction, or can you donate, since you spoke about donations? So donate this to IECOC. Be our role model. So you heard what he said. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما سيدنا وقائدنا ومولانا الإمام المهدي المنتظر عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره. In continuation of our presentations on the great women in the history of mankind, and there are so many of them, beyond count. Tonight we're going to shed some light on the life of an honorable lady, an honorable mother, an honorable wife, and a lady who gave her life to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that lady is Sayyida Fatima binti Asad ibn Hashim, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. She is Imam Ali's biological mother, but the Prophet's spiritual mother too, because she was the one who raised the Prophet. The Prophet lost his mother at the age of 6, lost his father when his mother was pregnant with him. So he went into the custody of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And then after a period of time, when the Prophet was only 8 years old, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim alayhi salam passed away. So the custody of the Prophet went to his uncle Abu Talib. He had several uncles. The Prophet had several paternal uncles. Abu Talib was not the richest one. Neither he was the most senior, but he was the most compassionate to the Prophet. He was the most understanding and accommodating of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Talib takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 8, and he brings him to his home, and he says to his wife Fatima bint Asad, this honorable lady, خذي, take this baby boy. فهو أعز عندي من نفسي ومالي. He is dearer to me than my own self and than my own wealth. He is the dearest one now. The dearest one is this baby Muhammad. I want you to take care of him. So Fatima bint Asad, from that moment, she became the spiritual mother of the Prophet. And the hadith says, Al-aba'u thalatha. You have three types of parents in your life. Number one, the father who is biological. Abun waladak. The father that begottens you. He delivers you into this life physically. That is the biological father. You call him father. The second one, who is also a father to you, wa abun allamak. The one who teaches you. Teaches you manners. There is a poetry in Arabic. Since Ramin said poetry in Farsi, I will say one in Arabic. أفضل أستاذي على فضل والدي. I put my ustad, my teacher, above my father. Why? Because my father, he gives me bread, you know, food, water. But my teacher gives me what? Morals. and ethics and good lessons. أفضل أستاذي على فضل والدي وإن نالني من والدي الفضل والشرف فذاك مرب الروح والروح جوهر. So my father is the one who teaches and trains the ruh, the spirit. And our jawhar, our essence in this life is not this body. It's not this skin and blood, flesh and blood. It's your soul. Your soul makes you what you are today. Not your body. You are what you are because of your soul. Because of your character. Not because of your body. Not because of the shell. So, three fathers, biological father, intellectual father, which is the teacher, and guess who's the third father? You can call him as a father. Father-in-law, ahsant. Father-in-law. وَأَبٌ زَوَّجَكَ. The one who gives you his daughter. He raises his daughter, he takes care of her, he feeds her, he protects her, he spoils her, he spends on her, and then at the age of 20, 25, 30, he says, take my daughter. He accepts your proposal. You have to be thankful to him. The person who gives you his daughter, especially if the daughter is a good daughter, she's raised well, you have to thank that father, that person, and you have to call him father. He is truly your father-in-law. Of course, don't forget your mother-in-law. Huh? Always remember them in goodness. So the Prophet came to the house of Abu Talib alayhi salam and his wife Fatima bint Asad. And Fatima, she fell in love, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen, she fell in love with this baby Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She took care of him. She would give him the priority. She would never feed her kids, though she had several kids at home, before feeding Muhammad first. They had some palm trees in their home at that time in Medina. Then the entire land was spread and filled with palm trees. So they had several palm trees inside their home. First thing in the morning, she goes, she picks up some fresh dates, and she feeds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She conserves water. At that time, water was scarce. It was not available like today in your homes, you have running water. It wasn't available. So she would conserve some water to bathe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before bathing her own children. She gave a priority to the Prophet. He was child number one on her list in her life. She sacrificed her life for him, to protect him, to substitute for the love that he missed from his mother Amina bint Wahab when she died and he was at the age of 6. So she took care of him. Abu Talib was not rich. Abu Talib was struggling with his life. He was struggling. But he took Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he knew that this man is going to be a special man in the history of mankind. He knew that this man is going to be the messenger of God. And at that time, Abu Talib and his wife, Fatima bint Asad, both were part of the Muwahideen, monotheist. Though the Umayyads in their history, when they wrote the history, and most of the Islamic history today, most of it was written under the influence of Bani Umayyah. So the history which has been written is not pure, is not authentic. It's not authentic. It was written with the money paid by Umayyad caliphs, those tyrants who resemble Al Saud today. They paid some writers, some historians, to write down the history of Islam. So they did not write the history of Islam in favor of Ahlul Bayt. They wrote the history in favor of their enemies, Bani Umayyah. So what do they say in the history? They say Abu Talib died without faith. Mata mushrikan, a polytheist. Which is not true. Abu Talib had the choice of accepting Islam. Everybody had a choice, including one of the uncles of the Prophet, Abu Lahab. He had a choice to accept or to reject. So he chose to reject Islam. He chose to reject Islam. He's the uncle of the Prophet. Abu Talib had a choice of accepting Islam, and he accepted Islam with his wife, Fatima bint Asad, out of conviction and love and appreciation. And Fatima bint Asad was one of the very first ladies who accepted the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam when he started his mission at the age of 40, when he came back from Ghar Hira. So, in the Sunnis, they say in their books, I don't call them Sunnis, Umawi historians, in fact. They say that the Prophet declared that Abu Talib is in a special place in Jahannam. Not just Jahannam, regular place. Look at the hate. Look at the discrimination. Look at the bias. You speak about hate in America? Yes, there is hate in America and discrimination. But we have hate within the Islamic history too. And those, the pioneers and the founders of hate in Islam were Bani Umayyah. This wicked family, the family that this book twice criticizes them. One time he calls them Ash-Shajaratul Khabitha, the second time Ash-Shajaratul Mal'una, the family that is wicked, the family that is cursed, in this book. So they changed the history. They fabricated the stories against Abu Talib. Why? Just because he's the father of Imam Ali. That is the only crime he had, Abu Talib. Because he is the father of Imam Ali, he was despised and rejected by Bani Umayyah. Someone comes to Imam Ali Zainul Abidin, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, hal mata Abu Talib mu'minan? We hear rumors today in town that Abu Talib, when he died, he rejected Islam. Imam Zainul Abidin said to him, God asked his prophet that one, a lady in your community accepts Islam and her husband does not accept, you have to separate them. You have to separate them. When the lady accepts Islam and the husband rejects out of stubbornness, out of hate for Islam, he says, I don't want to be Muslim. I don't like this religion. So you prophet, you have to separate her from her husband. How come that if Abu Talib did not accept Islam, the Prophet had to separate Fatima, and he lived in their home. He was not far from them. He lived with them in the same family, in the same house. He should have separated her from her husband Abu Talib, if Abu Talib was not Muslim. So the biggest evidence that Abu Talib was Muslim and he accepted Islam is that the Prophet saw him with his wife, Fatima bint Asad, living together. They accepted Islam together, and they died when they are Muslims. But this is the prejudice that goes on today. Until today. It continues until today. Now, Abu Talib alayhi salam, the Prophet had two defenders in Mecca. During his time in Mecca, which lasted for 10 years, from the beginning of his mission till the day he left Mecca to Medina, the Prophet had two main defenders, one male and one female. So who was the female? Khadija alayhi salam, his wife. And who was the male defender? Abu Talib. And those two noble people, they died within few weeks of each other. Only few weeks. And if you look at the history, that year was declared as the year of what? Sadness and sorrow. Aam al-Huzn. It was a very sad year for the Prophet. He lost two loyal friends, two good companions. One, his wife, who lived with him for 25 years. And I spoke about her two nights ago. How she dedicated her wealth, her energy, her feelings, her love to protect the Prophet, to maintain the Prophet, to encourage the Prophet. The job of the wife, my friends, believe me, the real job is not cooking food. If you think your wife's primary job to cook food, you are mistaken. Her primary job is to encourage you, is to support you. And this is exactly what Khadija did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was supportive of him. She was not a burden. Some women of the Prophet, some wives of the Prophet were a burden on him. This is the book. The book says that. The Quran says that. Chapter 33. In kuntunna turidna al-hayata al-dunya wa zinataha. They asked for material things, knowing that the Prophet, he doesn't have that much money. Yes, he can sustain his family, but he doesn't have money for luxury life. But they asked for luxury life. This is what the book says. In kuntunna turidna al-hayata al-dunya wa zinataha. فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. I'll give you your mahar and then go back home because I can't provide luxury. I have to be modest in my living. The religious leader has to be modest. Therefore, his family has to be modest. They have to bear that responsibility. But Khadija was not a burden. She was a blessing to the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Talib too. He defended the Prophet. Not because Muhammad was his nephew. Some historians say, yes, he defended Muhammad because Muhammad was his nephew. No, not because he was. Then why Abu Lahab did not defend Muhammad, his nephew? Why? If it was out of tribal values, then Abu Lahab should have defended Muhammad because Muhammad is his nephew too. Abu Talib did what he did because he believed in God. Abu Talib defended the Prophet because the Prophet was Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was the messenger of God. He defended him to the last breath. The father, Abu Talib, defends the Prophet outside the house. His wife, Fatima bint Asad, our honorable lady, defends him inside the house. She protects him, provides him with food. So, when both died, the Prophet had no supporter. He was left out alone. God at that moment said to him, now because you don't have any supporter in Mecca, you have to travel and move to Medina. So the Prophet moved into Medina and then asked Imam Ali to stay behind because the Prophet's house was like a safe box. Have you seen some banks, they have safe boxes? You keep your jewelry, your money, your documents. The house of the Prophet was a free safe box. You don't pay any money, you know. Just keep your amana, whatever valuable you have, with the Prophet. So Imam Ali had to stay 3 days to return all the amanat. The money of the polytheists, mushrikeen, non-believers, but Imam Ali will return it to them. And then after that, the Prophet asked him, to bring 4 women by the name of Fatima. Number 1, Fatima bint Asad, this lady, the mother of Imam Ali, his mother. He will bring her to Medina. Number 2, which Fatima? Fatima to Zahra. And number 3, Fatima bint Zubair. She was a cousin, second cousin to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and another cousin to Imam Ali, Fatima bint. Her father was killed in the second year of Hijrah, in the battle of Uhud. Fatima bint Hamza, Ahsant, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Those 4 Fatimas, the Imam Ali, they are called Al-Fawatim, plural of Fatima. He carried them to leave Mecca to join the Prophet, and the Prophet, before reaching Medina, he camped outside Medina for 3 weeks. He said, I will wait for Ali to come. I would not enter Medina by myself. I will wait for my sweetheart to join me here. So when Quraysh realized that Imam Ali is leaving and taking the family of the Prophet, those 4 women, and some of the weak people who were newly converts, he was taking them with him. They decided to send 4 of their powerful and strong men, young men, to deter Imam Ali from moving from Mecca to Medina. So they dispatched the strongest among their young men, Shubban. Imam Ali was outside Mecca on the way to Medina, on the route to Medina. So they came, they surrounded the caravan. They said, "You can't go. You can't go to Medina. You have to stay here. This is the order of Quraysh. You have to stay in Mecca." Imam Ali said, "Whose order is this?" They said, "The order of our elders." Quraysh decided. They had an emergency meeting and they said, "Ali cannot take those women, neither himself. He should stay in Mecca." Imam Ali said, "No, I'm going to move. So whoever wants to deter me, let him come forward. Bismillah. Come forward." So one of them, he wanted to show off his strength. So he came forward and he took off his sword and he was trying to hit Imam Ali alayhi salam. Before his arm reached down, all of a sudden he saw his arm in the air above his head. It was severed by the sword of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And then another strike on his head, Imam Ali finished him, alhamdulillah. Those, the other seven, when they saw this scene, they fled. They ran away towards Mecca, back to Mecca, and Imam Ali continued his journey to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. How did she deliver Imam Ali? When she was pregnant with Imam Ali alayhi salam in Mecca, during the last days of her pregnancy, or last hours rather, she came to the sacred mosque to take refuge in the Kaaba. So Fatima bint Asad, pregnant with Amir al-Mu'mineen, came to the sacred mosque all the way close to the Kaaba, and she started doing her tawassul, raising her hand to Allah to make this labor easy on her. While she was standing in the front of the Kaaba, very close to the wall of the Kaaba, all of a sudden the wall started to split, to rent asunder. And then there was a gap. She was able to enter from the house of God, from that gap, and again the gap was united again. It was shut, closed. So people who were standing there, they were worried about her. What will happen to her inside this house? The house is abandoned. Nobody goes there. So they rushed to her husband, Abu Talib. They said, "Ya Abu Talib, bring the keys. Your wife is stuck there inside. Something happened to her. She cannot get out." The answer of Abu Talib was a beautiful smile. He said, "Don't worry about her. She's safe there." She stayed there for 3 days. In these 3 days, she delivered Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam inside the Kaaba. One of the great Sunni scholars, his name is Al-Hakim. His book is Al-Mustadrak. The name Al-Hakim, the book is Al-Mustadrak. He says, وَقَدْ تَوَاتَرَتِ الْأَخْبَارِ. This news of Fatima bint Asad delivering Imam Ali inside the house of God is very popular. تواترت الأخبار أن فاطمة بنت أسد أن فاطمة بنت أسد ولدت أمير المؤمنين علي كرم الله وجهه في جوف الكعبة. This is very popular. No one can deny this, that Fatima delivered Imam Ali عليه السلام inside the house of God, inside the Kaaba. Now some people say, "Sayyid, isn't this a fairy tale? The wall can crack and split." Well, if we believe in miracles, it's not a fairy tale. But if we don't believe in this book, we don't believe in the Quran, we don't believe in God, yes, it is a fairy tale. But if you believe in God and His revelation and His book, this is not a fairy tale. Because this incident happened many times. One, can you tell me? With which prophet happened? Salih alayhi salam. Salih was a prophet. His people said to him, they lived in northern Arabia. They said to him, if you are truthful, let your God bring out of this mountain here a camel. If you speak the truth. So he prayed to God. All of a sudden the mountain went into contraction. The mountain itself, the rocks of the mountain. And then it was split, and a she camel with the baby came out of that mountain. It's in the Quran, in this book. نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. The other story happened with whom? With Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam had 12 tribes with him. Of the children of Israel, they were 12 tribes. And they could not get along at the time of watering. When they wanted to get water, they had some, you know, tribes, sometimes they have rivalries, race among them. So he asked God. God said to him, I am going to enable you to hit with your cane the huge rock. فَانْفَلَقَتْ إِثْنَا عَشَرَ عَيْنًا. He hits with a simple cane. Simple cane. The rock, the huge rock. So it gushed, the water gushed into 12 rivers out of that huge rock. So God can do anything and everything. So the story of Imam Ali being born inside the Kaaba is an authentic story. Fatima bint Asad moved to Medina. Her husband died in Mecca, Abu Talib alayhi salam, 3 years before the Hijrah. So the mother moved with her son Amir al-Mu'mineen. She lived with him until Imam Ali alayhi salam was married to Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. One day Imam Ali came to the Prophet crying, tears in his eyes. The Prophet said to him, what happened, Ya Ali? He said, Ya Rasulallah, لَقَدْ مَاتَتْ أُمِّي. Today my mother passed away. The Prophet answered him, he said, وَهِيَ أُمِّي أَيْضًا. It is my mother too. And this is what he said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, فَقَدْ كَانَتْ تُجِيعُ أَوْلَادَهَا وَتُشْبِعُنِي. Sometimes she starves her babies, her children, in order for her to give me the food. She gives preference to me over her children. كَانَتْ تُجِيعُ أَوْلَادَهَا وَتُشْبِعُنِي وَتَشْعَثُ أَوْلَادَهَا وَتَدْهَنُنِي. She would prevent her children from being clean in order for her to clean me first. She begins with me, cleaning me, bathing me, and then she goes to her children. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Bilal and some companions to go to the Baqi' and dig the grave for Fatima bint Asad. After they washed her and they shrouded her with the kafan, the Prophet walked in her procession, in her janazah, to her final rest in Baqi'ul Ghardaq. And the Prophet prayed. And then he did something. He prayed on her body and over her body. And then he did something very strange. For the first time, when they took Fatima inside her grave, the Prophet went inside and he laid down next to her and he covered her with his rida, with his cloak. The Sahaba were standing and watching this. Why did the Prophet do this? So when he came out, they said, Ya Rasulullah, you did something very strange today. You laid down next to her, you covered her. He said, yes. Because one day I was telling her about death and about solitude inside the grave, how we are left alone, about the fear of the grave, about the pressure in the grave. So she yelled, she said, Wa Ghawtha, who's going to help us at that moment? So today I wanted to give her assurance and peace that when she's in the grave, the Prophet himself, Muhammadun Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going, because she kanat ummi, she was my mother. She was my mother, I have to be loyal to her. I have to pay her back for what she did to me, for her maintenance of me, for her protection of me. So I wanted to give her some peace of mind. I stayed in her grave for a few minutes and I covered her with my rida, so she receives the peace and the blessing. Salamullahi alayha. Salamullahi ala Fatima binti Asad wa ala Abi Talib wa ala Amir al-Mu'mineen wa ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimin wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة.